For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
All right, so tonight, so we mentioned this briefly last week, so I want to go back over some of the principles and halachas of tearing on Shabbos. Again, I'm trying to find the right method for this. If we're going to keep this form, which is relatively short, a 15-20 minute thing, so many of the halachas, especially on Shabbos, can get very, very large. So I'm trying to keep it in bite-sized pieces, so it's not going to cover everything. We're just not. We're going to try to cover a specific question and topic. And Mr. Shem, if the form works, the half and half, so then we'll get to everything, Mr. Shem, as we go along. Okay, let's go through this issue of tearing on Shabbos. So Korea, as one of the 39 malachas, it's a malacha midaraisa. There is clear, it's listed in the Mishnayos as a prohibition on Shabbos. However, when the Mishnayos go through, the Mefarshim go through what exactly the malacha of Kriya, of Korea is, it is, as all the malachas are, it has to be constructive. You have to be ripping in a way that the product of your rip is better than it was before the rip. In the Mishkan, the way that was done is the arios, the curtains of the Mishkan, would sometimes develop small little holes that were either through wear and tear or through bugs, whatever, would develop, and you need to repair a small little hole. Now, I don't sew, but apparently, if you try to sew a round hole, it will not come out as good if you rip it a little bit further and make it into more of a line, and then you sew it up together. So what they would do when they needed to repair the small little holes is they would rip the curtains more so they would be able to put it together and sew it in a way that was an easier or better fix than if they would have tried it while it was still in the shape of the hole. So that the malacha midoraisa is a constructive rip. I'm ripping in order to be able to either sew, and most poskim learn that not just to be able to sew, but rip in any type of constructive manner. Even if you're not ripping in order to sew, but you're ripping in some way that the rip makes the product better. The classic examples, I gave you a bunch of things which you're familiar with. Ripping rolls of wrapping paper. You want to wrap up a gift, so you have to rip the wrapping paper. And when you rip it, now I have something usable. I have the size that I want. Ripping paper towels, toilet paper, all of those things are more useful after the rip than they were before the rip. And therefore, that's a malacha daraisa. That is a serious prohibition. If you rip toilet paper or paper towels along the perforations, you have a second prohibition, not just of ripping to make something useful. You also have a mechatech of measuring out to size. So that has a potential of two malachas midaraisa on the perforations. If you were to rip toilet paper, paper towels, not on the perforations, you only have one malacha midaraisa. But you still have that's serious. So that's serious business. Where the result is better than what you started from is a prohibition of Korea. What if what's relevant to us, the rip makes the item worse? You've destroyed the item. So Chazal forbade that as well, because like many of the fences that Chazal created, since if you ripped in a constructive purpose, it would be also midaraisa, ripping in a non-constructive purpose still falls under the category of the midaraban. Is there a question? No? So that still becomes midrabanan. They were afraid that when you rip something, you would then want to fix it. So even though you ripped it in a destructive manner, out of a fear that you're going to then come either to rip in a constructive manner or that you'll then want to fix what you ripped, they prohibited that as well. So Poskim list any type of material which is mendable, meaning you can sew it together, you can glue it, tape it, staple it, paper, cloth, leather, plastic, all of those materials are midrabanan usur to rip even in a destructive way. which next result is parenthetically you have to cut string. Let's say you had string wrapped around something and you wanted to cut the string to get to whatever you wanted to get to. So that you'd be allowed to do. Because string, when you fix string, you tie it in knots. You don't mend it together. So it's not in the drabanan problem of ripping. So if you had string wrapped around something and you wanted to cut that, you couldn't, if it was a double knot, you couldn't. What's that?
You don't fix paper.
We do glue type. Yeah, we have a construction project. You were always gluing pieces of paper together.
Why is gluing different than knotting?
Gluing is within, knotting is its own malacha. Gluing is within the malacha of sewing. sewing or putting two things and forcing them together was all under that malacha, so therefore all of those fit together from that perspective.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What about something like, I've seen people get nervous and rip a styrofoam cup that there's really no way to fix.
They're nervous? You mean they're playing with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be within... unless styrofoam would be a product that's not... That, the starting point with that would be that it would be Asur Midrabanan as a destructive act that served no purpose. I would try to avoid that. I've had many cup. I have many nervous habits when I'm speaking, and I have destroyed many cups around my table on Shabbos and elsewhere, and I've had many cups taken away from me for that purpose. Anyway, that would be try to avoid that. Maybe styrofoam saves something, but the starting point would be not to do that. There is one major exception, which is really the source of our major discussion tonight, is to obtain a Shabbos necessity, meaning when Chazal forbade ripping in a destructive manner, they did not forbid to rip in a destructive manner if it's necessary for Shabbos. Primary necessary examples would be food, medicine, the like. We'll go through a bunch of examples. So that as long as what you're doing is A, midrabanan, meaning that it's destructive. If it's daraisa, there's nothing to talk about. The fact that you need it on Shabbos doesn't help. You can't do a ripping in a constructive way. But if the ripping that you're doing is destructive, and the purpose of it is for something that you need for Shabbos, as we'll go through a bunch of examples to get this clear, that would be okay. Now, when I say a Shabbos necessity, that Rav Moshe, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman, both say, let's say you received a letter before Shabbos. So we're not dealing with any issues from last week. You just knew it came on Friday and you were so excited. I can't wait to read that letter. But you're getting ready for Shabbos. You're busy running around the house. You say, I'll read it on Shabbos. But you forgot to open it. So now you need to rip open the letter in order to be able to read it. So it's not muksa, you prepared it, you said, Hinini muchun mezuman, I'm going to read this letter on Shabbos. You just forgot to rip it open. So are you allowed to rip that on Shabbos? So the answer is no. Because ripping, even though it's going to be destructive, you're going to destroy the letter when you open it. So that's only midrabanan, but Chazal forbade even destructive ripping on Shabbos, unless it's for a Shabbos need. Reading this letter that you're very excited about is a Shabbos convenience. That's not a Shabbos need. So therefore, Rav Moshe Shlomo Zalman would say that would be forbidden because Chazal forbade ripping even in a destructive manner. So such a letter would be a problem, but food items and a bunch of items we'll get through in a moment would be okay. The source of this is a Tosefta. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this lahalacha that you're allowed to tear the leather skin covering on a flask of wine. We use saran wrap. They used pieces of hide to cover their flasks. So you needed to get to your wine. So the Tosefta, there's a Tosefta that's in Mishnah Berurah quotes lahalacha that says you're allowed to rip that open in order to be able to get to your wine as long as you don't make it into a spout. So that's this idea that it has to be destructive. You didn't better the product by ripping it, and you're allowed to rip that open in order to get out your wine. The question that the poskim discuss is, why is this okay? If Chazal forbade ripping destructively, why all of a sudden, because I needed it, is it okay? So there are a couple of explanations given, which I'll mention just for the sake of that it should hopefully be clear. The Shvi'is Shabbos writes that a wrapper which is covering the food, whether in the case of the flask of wine, or the Tosefta's example, in the way that we have our wrappers around most of our food items, the item loses its identity. It's really only there to protect or cover the food. So it becomes bustle to the food. It's secondary to the food, so that when you rip it, it's not considered a kli, that you're ripping something of a utensil, something of significance. The wrapper itself, it's only there to protect or to serve some other purpose, and therefore it loses its own significance, so that when you rip it, it's not considered as if you've ripped anything. Or the Chazon Ish has a svara that since the goal is to get to the food and not to rip the material, so then it's not considered a koreya. Koreya is the act of ripping. So even though it looks like ripping, but like all things in Melacha Shabbos, it has to be for some purpose. The purpose here isn't to rip. The purpose is to get to the food. I need to get to behind whatever's there. So the Chazon Ish writes, it's not considered ripping since it's only midrabanan anyway. Again, this always is where it's destructive. So since it's destructive, it's only midrabanan type of ripping. And really, I need to get that whatever's behind it. So since I don't really care about the act that I'm doing, I'm only trying to get at something else. So that would become permitted as long as you need it for Shabbos purposes, that which you're trying to get at. That's the lumdus as far as why that is. Let's go through some applications because these come up regularly every Shabbos. Cereal box. You bought special Shabbos cereal for the family and you forgot to open it before Shabbos. So now it's Shabbos morning and you have a disaster on your hands because you bought special Shabbos cereal and the kids want special Shabbos cereal and it's not opened. and at Shabbos morning. So you have two problems. A, you have the cardboard box in which the special Shabbos cereal comes, and B, you have the bag, the plastic bag that your special Shabbos cereal comes. Now let me mention, I skipped two lines, but I want to go back over them now. Because this is hopefully short little tidbits, we're not addressing ripping letters and pictures today, and we're not addressing two other malachas, Makeh B'Patish and Asiyas Pesach. So the examples I'm bringing today are specific, only addressing the issue of ripping and tearing. This does not things. There are other things that you might want to open, like cans and other items, which might be okay. But it's a different discussion as to how, when, and why. This is specifically ripping. We're going to just stay focused on that. But I'm addressing and mentioning that there are other issues when it comes to opening stuff on Shabbos, and we're not getting to that tonight. So when it comes to the cereal box, so we have this heter that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. As long as I'm doing it in a destructive way, and I need the food for Shabbos, I'm allowed to destroy it. I just have to be left with a destroyed product. So the normal way we open up a cereal box is you slip open the top, and now you have a box. And you have a box that can open and reseal. So that's constructive. The ripping open of the glue, or however they sealed it, has created something which is productive. That's how they make it. So that's forbidden. That's an Isser Midrabanan. I don't know if that would be considered Midaraisa, making constructive. But there, you certainly know how to do that. But if you open up both sides, and now you create a flat piece of cardboard that really can do nothing, so then, for the purpose of food, that would be totally permissible to do on Shabbos. Same thing with your plastic. Oh, if you just open up the top of the plastic in the regular way, you have a glued shut piece of plastic, that's how they make it. You know, you rip that open, basically, and now you created a bag that we generally wouldn't, but you can use. You can empty out the contents, you could fill it with water and dump it on somebody. You could do something with it. It's a bag. It's a halakha kli. It has a value. It has a use as a bag. So again, there, you'd have to open up the box on both sides, and you open up the bag, and you get yourself a Ziploc, and dump it out into a Ziploc bag, and that is okay to do on Shabbos. The same would be true with your potato bags, your little bags of potato chips. You cannot just open it up in the normal way on the top. You have to do the top and the bottom, and put them into a Ziploc, because you're not allowed to rip open the top of your potato chip bag. Same thing with your sugar bags, which are glued shut, as opposed to the heat sealed of your potato bags. You're glued shut sugar, but you need a cup of sugar and you're out of sugar. So Baruch Hashem, you bought Friday at Kroger. Yeah, but it's sealed shut, and those things are glued shut. So you're not allowed to rip that open, unless you're destroying the bag. So if you either slit it down the sides, the whole way down, so that everything would pour out, you could do that. Which is, again, the purpose is destroying the bag. So you take yourself a Ziploc bag, and you put your bag of sugar in your Ziploc bag, and you slit the whole bag of sugar down, or you do it from the top and the bottom. Both of those are permissible to do on Shabbos, even though you're ripping. I need the food. As long as I'm not left with any usable product in my bag, I'm permitted to do so. Again, we're also trying to avoid the letters and the pictures. We're focusing solely on, am I allowed to rip the bag? So yes, you'd be allowed to rip the bag under such circumstances in which everything comes out and the bag is left destroyed. Yeah?
You're allowed to destroy the bag or box after you get the food out, like so that the food doesn't go everywhere and then you completely destroy it.
I don't know. I didn't see anyone until like 3 seconds, 5 seconds. I don't know. I'm saying that's another thing you're saying. Like, can I open it? Do I have enough time? I would tell you not to. In other words, like, find the bag, whatever bag you need, a big Ziploc or a Kroger bag, whatever thing, and you're putting it in there. And then as you're opening, you do it in a way that because I don't know, I wouldn't want you to be left with, you created something that was valuable, and then later you destroyed it. It's just, it should be done in a way that, right as you're opening it, you're destroying it.
Are you not allowed to use it for, let's say with the cereal bag, is it the holding the cereal itself is also going to be a problem?
Right.
You, like, even just use, so that means
right.
You have to definitely.
Correct, exactly.
Empty it out. Right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, moving to the other examples. You have your ice pops and candy bar wrappers. So you have Shabbos afternoon treats, so the ice pops always come in plastic wrappings. So it's not a problem opening up the plastic wrappings. What you can't do, what many people do regularly, is you, on the bottom of the stick is, you put the wrapper down there so it catches all the drips. So that's the possible thing you couldn't do. You couldn't rip it in a way, and now you're still basically made something usable out of your wrapper in which I'm using it to catch all my stuff, which is a problem on Shabbos because that's the time you need it the most. Everybody's all wearing their Shabbos clothes and they get all red, whatever. That's what you guys do. So when you're opening up your kids' ice pops, So you open up the wrapper and you literally rip the wrapper so that it becomes garbage, and that's fine to do, but you have to make sure that the wrapper, as you open it, indeed becomes a piece of garbage.
Open the tops before shopping?
No, I'm saying the ice pops, you know, become the plastic ceramic. So when you open it, you can open it on Shabbos. No, freeze pops. I'm talking like
popsicle.
Freeze pops are a little different.
As you eat it out of
the that's right. The freeze pop would have to be done in the same way, in which you split the whole thing down the side and took the freeze pop.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you split the freeze pop.
Because the freeze pop.
So
glad I don't have this.
Yeah.
But think about
it. It's the same thing. As you're ripping. Correct. That's right.
You would sometimes use that in like a recycled material project. Not always, but like sometimes. Can you?
Yeah, but that's because that's just you're taking what's otherwise considered garbage by most people, and it's recyclable, but you've destroyed it as a box.
Rather, when you've destroyed that box, I'm under the assumption then if it's got a box top or something, you can't keep that box for after Shabbos. Or can you get the box top or whatever the secret code is on the inside?
I don't know. I think it's that you've destroyed it as a box. I know it's not that the thing becomes valueless, it's that you destroyed it as a box. As I ripped it open, and it's now a piece of cardboard. I don't see why you shouldn't be able to. I don't see why not. I'll ask around. I don't see why not.
Can I take that box that I cardboard in, put it in recycling, say, wait a minute, I really want that box back? So people know what kind of cereal it is, and I retape it, and after Monday they shop it?
So I don't know how much it needs to be. I still think that's just my gut tells me that's destructive. You know, you still that was destructive. So now the fact that it's a label, but it doesn't mean you didn't the act of ripping was a destructive. You made it less valuable before, after than before. Whereas the goal is after I've ripped, it's less valuable than it was before. So it was a box, and now it's a piece of cardboard. To me, it would seem like it should be fine.
Are you keeping in mind on Shabbos for something you're going to use after Shabbos?
I know, but that's not. But that had nothing to do with your ripping. In other words, the box top was there before Shabbos. I know, I'm saying it has no impact on your ripping. The box top is there before, during, after. It's not impacted. What's impacted is it was a box. No, it's not a box. Your ripping has taken that away. I don't think it should be a problem. I'll ask. I don't think it's a problem. Let me just move on to get to everything else. Packages of paper napkins. You're setting your table. Your paper napkins are in a plastic wrap. Same thing, as long as you rip it open in a way in which the plastic is destroyed, which is most scenarios that I would imagine, is not a problem. Band-Aids, also, same thing. Opening a Band-Aid on Shabbos. So are you allowed to rip open the wrapping of the Band-Aid? So yes, as long as when you rip it and you keep on ripping it so that it is destroyed. There, the hard thing is looking out for letters and stuff, but same principles would apply there as anybody else. There's a big discussion about taking off the plastic tabs. Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe is not here, using opening up the Band-Aid and then taking off the tabs to put it on somebody as well. And the same thing about the box of Band-Aids would be the same thing. In other words, if you forgot that you have a new box and it's glued shut, would be totally opening it up and dumping all the Band-Aids into a Ziploc bag. Would be the same principle. Same principle. Okay, a couple more things. I'll let you go. I'm trying to keep to my time. What about when you have your box drink and you poke your straw through the box drink? So you're ripping the foil on top of the box drink. So that's fine. That's also considered a destructive act. And it's not a problem to poke your straw through. That's a separate discussion.
Why is that any different than cutting off that thing on the box? Still stuck with the free
stuff.
But that's the way the free.
It's because it's a thin foil. The same thing with you're allowed to if you have different things. I'm thinking I'm in the world of baby formula now, so they come with these thin foils on top. You can just rip those off because it's not part of the kli. The kli is its own thing, and then they put a separate little foil On top of it. So to rip the foil, you're not changing the status, and the ripping is not considered a problem for the for all of the destructive purposes. Okay, tissue box. You forgot to open up your tissue boxes before Shabbos. So same principle. So in other words, you're not allowed to rip the tissue box on the perforations to open up the tissue box. You have serious problems if you do that, because now you have this beautiful box that's functional. But if you're desperate for tissues, so you could destroy the box. And, you know, take a knife and cut it on the two sides, and you can have tissues if you,
you
so. Right, I would take them out of the box. Yes, yeah, so, no, you need to destroy. Yeah. Okay, last thing that I want to share, which is a very important point. Toilet paper, we mentioned, is one of the most significant because of the perforations. If you rip toilet paper along the perforations, you have a potential of two malachas d'oraisas. If you rip it in a way that's not in the perforation, so you have one malacha d'oraisa. Because, now again, that ripping, again, is fundamentally different than all of the wrappers we're talking about, just to, again, stress. All the wrappings we're talking about, the act of ripping is not my goal. I need to get to something else. The wrapping is in the way, and I'm destroying the item that I'm using in order to get to what I want. When I rip a piece of toilet paper, the rip made the item more usable. I'm left with a product that I want. That's why it's such a significant problem. Now, running out of toilet paper is also a significant problem. So that brings us into what's known in the Gemara as Kavod Abrios, in terms of human dignity. And human dignity is dealt with by Chazal very, very often. Now, if we have a Daraisa problem, if you're ripping in a Daraisa manner, so then we're not so quick to use Kavod Abrios as a heter. But if it's down to a Darabanan Malacha anyway, when you have a Malacha Darabanan, and you add in Kavod Abrios, we have a lot of leniencies. So there are two ways. What do we do if you're stuck without toilet paper? You find yourself in such a situation. So what do you do? Kavod Abrios is a real issue. What is the solution? So first of all, if you realize it before, meaning you're about to have guests or you just have your family and you realize there is not a single piece of toilet paper in the house. So A, in such a situation, you're allowed to use a guy. You're allowed to do a Mir La'akum to ask the non-Jew, ideally hinting at him first if you have such a matter. If it was possible, that's option number one. Listen, if you have help in the house, they know that we're crazy anyway. They've seen you doing it on Erev Shabbos. So whatever, if you can hint that we're out of toilet paper, that's ideal. It's hinting to a non-Jew, then asking a non-Jew. There is another a heter, which is worth mentioning if you ever get stuck in such a situation, that again, Kavod Abrios is real, and therefore this is what we would do. You are allowed to use a shinoi. Ripping with a shinoi, meaning if you ripped with your teeth or with your elbows, would right away knock down the ripping to a drabanan. Again, ripping toilet paper is serious because the product is what you want. The rip is what I need, which makes it seriously. If you use elbows, I guess your wrists or your teeth, and you ripped and you tried not to get the perforations, you're out of drabana. Even the perforations would also be drabana. Well, see there, that's mechatech already. That's right. Yeah, you really need to try to avoid the perforations.
You control it when you're using your elbows.
Yeah, I mean, you try the best you can.
You
try the best. That makes it down into a drabanan. In other words, once you're ripping in a shinoi way, it becomes a drabanan. Once the ripping is done in a drabanan way, because of Kavod Abrios, then it becomes mutter. So it's something to be aware of. If you're stuck, there are no tissues around, there's no toilet paper around, all you have is this roll, you ended up in someone's house, and they didn't realize they weren't Shomer Shabbos. So whatever the situation is, you're stuck. Kavod Abrios is such that you need to be aware that is, as long as you get the ripping down to a drabanan, teeth, elbows, wrists, something that's totally an abnormal way to rip, and because of Kavod Abrios, that becomes another way that you'd be allowed to rip on Shabbos. But that scenario is only, again, because toilet paper is different than all of the wrappers we've been discussing, in which the goal is to get at something else. I'm not producing anything with ripping. That's why that's much more lenient when you need it for food or other purposes on Shabbos. Toilet paper, which the problem ripping is real because I need the rip and I'm producing something there, when you're really stuck, Kavod Abrios works if you get it down to the Rabbanan, which is done through a shinoi. Yeah?
What if you bought a knife shirt or something before Yontif or Shabbos and you forgot to take the tag off? Can you tear the tag?
Yeah, so that's also fine because the tag is getting destroyed.
Right.
Now, the need doesn't have to be a food need.
Mm-hmm.
So the need here for Shabbos is the clothing, and getting it is just the cleaner's tag or whatever it may be. So as long as that becomes destroyed in the process, so then that's also fine.
So is there a preference
preferable way to do it? Through your teeth, through a knife?
No, in that situation would be, because it's already midrabanan and it's destructive. So it's destructive, plus I have the need for it for Shabbos. So this is a separate, that's going to be a separate topic of mukta and klishim lachta lisser, and when are we allowed to use that?
I'm talking about a scissor. I have a scissor in my kitchen.
Yeah, it should be fine. I don't know why. I mean, but we'll Mirtz Hashem get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to scissors. Every week I choose what we're going to do based on the question that I didn't get to. So we'll do scissors, Mirtz Hashem. Actually, we'll talk about scissors. Okay,
thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.